Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We need you here. I need you here. Right? But he is here, isn't he? Because he resides within me. He resides within you. So, but I do believe where two or more gathered in my name, there is a special anointing, a special blessing, a special, you know, a blessing that God wants to give to his people. Of course, we're going to be starting today in Acts chapter 16. Yep. For those of you who may be visiting or may have missed a couple of weeks or something, we go through books of the Bible. So today we're in Acts chapter 16. We have already been through Acts chapter 1 all the way through 15, and it has taken us 23 weeks to do that. So if that gives you an idea of how we go through the Bible, because the book of Acts is 28 chapters long, but it covers a 30-year period. So I want you to know something, that in every story, there's things God wants us to know. There's principles God wants us to see. There's characters in him of himself that he wants us to recognize. Come on. Right? And so that's why we really just take our time and we go through it, because it doesn't matter if you leave here and you don't understand what we talked about. Then you have gained nothing. Right? My goal is to teach you the Word. And the Word combined with the Holy Spirit within you, that's how you grow, that's how you mature. Amen? So all my part is to feed the lambs, right? Feed the sheep. So today you are the sheep. Huh? All right, so we're going to be in Paul's second missionary journey. We've already been through his first missionary journey. the title of the message today is going to be Following God's Voice. Amen. Following God's Voice. Do you know God's voice?
Yes.
Do you know God's voice?
Yes.
Only two of you? That might be right. That might be right. Because a lot of people think they know God's voice, but they really don't know God's voice. Come on.
Yep.
Right? Because really within us there are two voices.
Yep.
The voice of us, the flesh, the desires, and then there's the voice of God. Which one are you going to hear the most? Which one is going to be the loudest? The one you feed. Listen to me here. And I'll be completely honest with you. If you don't have a life where you read and study the Bible on your own, not just here on Wednesday and Sunday night, if you don't have a prayer life where you are communicating with God, listen to me. If you're not feeding your spirit, then make no mistake about it. When God speaks in your life or into your heart, here's what you hear. Charlie Brown, teacher. Because there's so much of your own self and your own flesh and your own desire wrapped up in your life that you have left no room for God to hear God in your life. Listen, the Bible says you can quench the Holy Spirit.
Yes, you can.
Right? The Bible says you can grieve the Holy Spirit. So don't sit there and think, and I'm not going to stand here and think that I can't do that, because the Bible says I can. But I need to be aware of that, mindful of that. Because only when I'm aware and mindful that I won't do that. Right? You know, when I was putting this together, I was thinking about the GPS. You know what? People will follow a GPS anywhere. Turn left 100 feet. Turn right 200 feet. Right? I mean, I got a couple pictures of you here. I mean, people will follow it, man. They'll be follow it to the side of the mountain. And if you're on that mountain and the GPS lady says turn left, you're going to turn left.
Yep.
Truckers, man, when I was looking this up, I wanted to get some stories, man. They follow this GPS and they end up in dead ends. They can't turn around. They end up in mud where they can't get out of. People, listen, can you follow God like you follow a GPS?
Yes, you can.
Huh? I think sometimes when I got to thinking about that, we trust that GPS more than we trust the voice of God. And I say that because a lot of us don't understand or hear the voice of God. You got to know the voice before you can follow it. Amen? And for each of us, we've got to work that out in our own lives. But does God speak to his children? He is always talking. The question is, are you listening? Now, you have the choice today. You can leave here the same way you came. You can. Nothing I can do about it. I'm going to give you the truth of God's word, but you can leave here the same way you can. Or what you can do right now is remove anything from your heart and your mind. Right? Yeah, just like Linda did. Lord, remove anything from me that would keep you, keep me from hearing what you have for me today.
Amen.
All right? Because I don't care where you think you are spiritually or mature in spiritual life, we could all fine-tune the voice of God in our lives. And I want you to know something. We lose it, and it happens over such a long period of time that we don't even realize we've lost it. Come on. Right? Kind of like when you get old, you start losing the motion in something. Right? The same way for the voice of God, man. If you're not paying attention to it, right, it'll slowly, because you're not feeding it, it'll slowly fade out of your life. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, again, we come to you. We thank you for this day. What a blessing it is to be here with your people, Lord. And Father, we just ask, as the song said, your presence be here with us today, Lord. And again, if there's anything in our hearts and our minds that would keep us from just realizing, Lord, seeing the word for what it is and what it means to each of us today, Lord, I ask that you would remove that. But I know in order for you to do that, your people have to be willing. And I just pray, Lord, that in their own mind and in their own heart now, they would say, God, just remove whatever would keep me from hearing from you today. Lord, we're here to honor and lift up the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we want to do that in the very best way that we can. May we hear you today, Lord. May we see you today, Lord. May we accomplish your will today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So at this point in Paul's ministry, he's undergone some major changes, hasn't he? Right? He's just gotten back from his first missionary journey. And this is where he has began to go on his second missionary journey. But up to this point, Paul's been traveling with Barnabas, a good friend of his, known him for many, many years. But if you remember last week in the last verses of chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas got into a heated argument. And that heated argument was over John Mark on whether to take him on the second missionary journey or not, because he had actually quit a quarter of the way through on the first missionary journey. And Paul says, remember, it says that Barnabas was determined to take John Mark, and Paul was insistent that he was not going to take John Mark. So they ended up agreeing to disagree, and what happens there is they split up. And the Bible says at the last verse in 15, it says that Barnabas took Mark and went to Cyprus, which was his hometown, and then Silas was chosen by Paul, and they went to Cecilia and Syria, which is Paul's hometown. So now we have two sets of missionaries going on. And we went into detail as far as why, who, what, when, where, and why that happened. But God wins. God won. He always wins in the end. So I want to show you a couple maps here because I always want you to know where we're at. I know you can't hardly see this, but I will zoom in as we approach these areas, okay? As we approach these areas that we'll be dealing with. But I just want you to see the second missionary journey here. I want you to see that it's a long, long trip. In fact, this trip will take 3 years, and it will cover 2,700 miles. Now, wait a minute. There is no train. There is no plane. All right? There is no car. There are no motorcycles. No nothing. So this 2,700 miles, all right? They would be walking, well, they're sailing some of it, right? But for the most part, it is a lot of walking. And listen, this is hot, right? One more verse, because I want to show you the first part that we'll be looking at. And here you see I brought it way in, right? Zoomed it way in for us to see. And last week we knew that they were in, Paul and Silas was in Cecilia and in Paul's territory of Tarsus, where he lived. So, and then this is what we're going to be covering today. They're going to go to Derbe, and they're going to go to Tros, and then they're going to go, after that, they're going to go to Philippi. But I want you to see, I want you to understand where we're going and what we're doing as we go through it, because I want you to try to put yourself in that position. So if you got your Bibles, let's read, because I want to answer a question first about circumcision. All right, some of you have came to me and said, hey, Pastor, didn't it just say this, and then we read this in chapter 16? That seems like a contradiction. So let me explain that to you briefly, and then we'll get into the center of the message today. But in chapter 16, verse 1 through 5, listen to this. Paul came to Derbe and then Lystra. All right, so has Paul been there before? Yeah. I want you to remember something. In Derbe and Lystra, that's where they were abused. That's where there was a plan to stone them. In Lystra is actually where Paul was stoned, drug outside of the city, and left for dead. Right? So, and he's back? Man, God, give me that steadfastness. Come on, man. Give me that fortitude in my heart, man. Right? All right. Where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him, right, because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decision. Everybody say delivered the decision. Reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. All right, so here we see Paul and Silas, and they're traveling to Lystra, and they're traveling to Derbe, and they meet a guy named Timothy. Timothy has a good reputation. Paul chooses Timothy to go on that mission with them, right? Now, it says here, as Paul and Timothy, or Paul and Silas are going about, they're delivering that decision, right? And I had you repeat that, because I want you to understand what that decision is. We went over that in the first part of chapter 15. And what happened was some Pharisees, some believers came up and said to the Gentiles, once they got saved, they said, hey, them Gentiles can't be saved. They can't be saved unless they, number one, are circumcised, and number two, have to follow the law of Moses. Well, that's when Peter, James, Paul, Barnabas and the whole Jerusalem council stood up and said, hey, remember, they disputed it, and then they discussed it, and then they came up with a decision, remember? And that decision was this, because these people said that you and I can't be saved unless we follow the law and get our circumcised. But they came up with this, and they said this, and let all you have to do, Gentiles, is don't eat meat sacrificed to idols, stay away from blood, stay away from meat strangled that was strangled, and sexual immorality, right? And in verse 15, 29, it says this, and you do well to avoid these things. So I want you to see something here. He's not saying you can't do that, because these Gentiles are not under the law. They're under the freedom of Christ. But remember, what we talked about was that Paul and them were asking them to give up some of their freedoms for unity and fellowship in the church. Because it's going to be hard to sit down and have a meal, right? If their meal has to be kosher and yours doesn't. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? So it was about giving up freedoms. But then you turn to chapter 16 here, and all of a sudden Paul is circumcising Timothy. And you're thinking, what the heck? You just said they didn't have to be circumcised, but now you open up 16 and here. And by the way, Paul, the way it reads, Paul did that. Huh? I hope the heck he knew what he was doing. I mean, right? So Paul is circumcised. I think the answer here, if we read it real carefully, is in verse 3, and it says this. Paul wanted to take him along, speaking about Timothy, on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area. So here's what I want you to know. Paul, Timothy, and Silas, they're not contradicting their beliefs, all right? They're not circumcising Timothy for salvation. They're not circumcising Timothy because it's going to change or improve his standing with God. Amen? He is doing it because the people in that area knew that his mother was a Jew and his father was a Greek. So what would happen there, it would hinder Paul and Silas and Timothy from going into the synagogue. And here's what we know in the book of Acts. When they enter a town, where do they go? They go and preach the gospel in the synagogue. But I want to let Paul explain it to you, or the Bible explain it to you, because it can explain it to you way better than I can. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. Listen to what Paul says here. Though I am free and belong to no one, somebody should say amen. Come on, you free, you don't belong to no one. Come on. I made myself a slave to everyone. This is Paul speaking. To win as many as possible. For the Jews, I became like a Jew. Come on, that's what we're doing. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so that to win those not having the law. You get the point where he's going here? To the weak, I became weak. Come on. Why? So that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. Oh, what a vision that Paul had. And he said, I do all this for the sake of the gospel. He does all that for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in the blessings. What blessings? The blessings of seeing people come to Christ. That's the blessing that he's talking about there, right? So when you think about it, they understood that they need to become all things to all people just so that they might save a few. Right? All right. So what we see here is simply Timothy willing to sacrifice some of his freedoms in order to see people saved, encouraged, edified, strengthened. Timothy is saying, hey, yeah, I don't have to do this, but man, if it will help and give us a better opportunity to preach and teach the gospel in more places, then hey, let's do it. You know, sometimes when I read this, I think, man, am I strong enough to do that? Am I strong enough to lay down some of my freedoms so that I might just reach one or two? Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's go on to verse 16 through 18, or 6 through 8. I hope that explains the circumcision deal, because it does seem like a contradiction. And many of you come up to me and ask me about that, and I said, hey, we'll talk about that next week. All right, there's your answer. To that question, all right? 6 through 8. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Now listen, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Tross. All right, listen, I got a map for you because I want you to see it. I want you to understand. Put yourself in it. So here's where we were, Lystra and Derbe, and they went up, and then they're going to travel through Asia Minor, a lot of people call it, but Asia and Minor. And I want you to know, so Paul, he's leaving, and he's standing there, and he's going through this, and he wants to go to Asia, right? That's Paul's plan. That's Paul's desire. He wants to go to Asia. The Holy Spirit says, oh, wait a minute, man. The GPS says, come on, stay straight here, all right? And then he says, all right, then I want to go to Bithynia. Where's Bithynia? That's to the north. I'll go there. No, recalculating, right? I like that word, when the Holy Spirit wants to recalculate my path. Hey, it tells me I'm on the wrong path. Come on, and I want to be on the right path. But he wouldn't let them go there either. Here's what I love about Paul, man. He was so in tune with the voice of God. He knew the voice of God. Of course, you know, he heard it very clearly on the road to Damascus as Jesus spoke to him, right? And by the way, there's only one voice of God, right? I know it talks about the Holy Spirit here and the Spirit of Jesus. That's the same voice. I just want you to know. Come on. But he didn't ignore the direction of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever done that? He didn't try to bargain with God. He didn't get angry with God because he wanted to go to Asia and he wanted to go to Bithynia, but God didn't want him to go. He didn't get angry with God. He didn't try to rebel against God. No. He was so tuned in to the Holy Spirit and the voice of God that he simply heard and obeyed. Oh, do you see some discernment here? Do you see some discernment here? Do you know that discernment is a spiritual gift? By the way, without the Spirit, you can't have spiritual discernment. Right? Come on. But it is a gift. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and you'll see in the list of gifts there that there is a gift called discerning of spirits, right? And it is a gift. But to a large degree, if you're born again and you have the Holy Spirit living within you, discernment comes with that. Discernment absolutely comes with that. But Paul, man, he had it figured out, right? He was focused on God. God says no. God says no. If God says don't go left and don't go straight, then you just keep going. I mean, don't go left and don't go right. You just keep going straight, right? Right? If we're honest, have you ever flunked that test? Listen to me, and here's the truth, man. Sometimes we do it with honorable intentions. We do it with honorable intentions. We want to do this and we want to do that, and we think, man, that's going to help the kingdom of God, and that's going to further the kingdom of God. That's going to plant a seed. That's going to water a seed. So sometimes we enter into these situations with honorable intentions, even though we really know that's really not what God wants us to do. Because, listen, if God calls us to go, oh, that's too far, right? Or that's too much, right? Then all of a sudden, here's what happens. We have God's will. We got God's will. We've heard God's voice. And then we got our plans. And we take our plans. We say, how can I fit them in there? Come on, man. Is that not right? All right, God, I've heard you. Yes. You don't want me to go to Bethany? You don't want me to go to Asia? Hold on. Because that's my plan. Paul didn't say, let me see how I can fit it into your plan. When God calls, when you hear God's voice, listen, it's about His plan. All your hopes, dreams, fears, all that, got to get in the back seat. Amen. If you can't take it, you get in the back seat too. Amen. Discernment, man, is a spiritual gift. It is a great gift, but it's a gift that comes with a lot of responsibility. What is discernment, man? Discernment is a gift that allows us to differentiate. Differentiate. Is that a word? Yeah. To tell the difference. How about that? Differentiate. To tell the difference. Man, it gives us the ability to see issues clearly, to see situations clearly, right? To see circumstances clearly. It absolutely does. We need to cultivate this discernment in our hearts. All right? That's how important it is. But a lot of people think, well, I already know right from wrong. I already know the truth from a lie. Do you? Do you really? Listen to me. Because discernment is way more than that. Follow me here for a minute. When you enter into a situation, a lot of times we already know what's right and wrong, don't we? We can recognize truth from a lie. But here's the deal. When we are discerned, have you ever discerned the right way to go and went the wrong way anyway? Come on. Have you ever discerned the right thing to do and did the wrong thing anyway? Come on. We all have. And you know what? You're going to do it again. But discernment is more than that. Listen to me. It'll help you. Discernment is not just about discerning what's right and wrong. With that discernment should come the explanation as to why. You can't. I don't just walk into a situation. God says, "Go left." Why do I go left? Because God said, "Yeah." But I also know that going left is where I'm going to find peace. I also know with that discernment, if I go left, that's where my joy is going to be. That's where my contentment is going to be. Now I might want to go right. It might look way better. But here's what I know: when God said left, you know, if I go right, there's going to be no peace. There's going to be no joy, but listen to me, that's not all. There are going to be consequences that you may not be willing to pay because you knew what God said and didn't do what God said. This has to do with choices in your life, decisions in your life, sins in your life. Anybody know they're sinning? Just keep on sinning anyway? Yeah. Praise God for the Lord. I want you to know, man. Amen. Amen. But you see what I'm saying? Don't just discern right from wrong. Understand God's reason. Understand God's character in that situation. God said, go do this or go do that or give that or spend time here or whatever. And listen, understand why, because He knows that you being there in His will is the absolute best place you can be. Amen. That's why He loves you so much. So it ain't just about knowing right from wrong. It's about understanding why God wants you in the right, why God wants you in the truth. Amen? I hope that helps you out there. Let's go on verses 9 and 10. It says, all right, so they're traveling, right? I'll get to this in a second. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him. Everybody say begging him. Wow. The New King James Version says that he pictured a man standing there and praying for him to come. All right? That's what the New King James says. Come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I want to show you a map, of course. I'm a map guy, right? So I want you to understand where we're at. So here we are. We were in Macedonia. We're right here, right? Paul wants to go to Asia. He won't let him. Paul wants to go to Bithynia. He won't let him. So I want you to see that pink, that line, that red line inside that pink, because Paul's got to be chomping at the bits, because Paul, he wants to share the gospel. But that is a 400-mile walk, right? 400 miles before they get to what we call here Macedonia, right? I want you to know something too. Back up to the last map, please. Is that the last map? Just hold it right there. You remember the first missionary journey? He came up through here, Pamphylia, went around there, and went back. So here's what I want you to know. The gospel's never been this far before. The gospel's never been this far before. But Paul is taking it into this place right now. Amen? Next slide. Let's read verse 11 and 12. No, back up one. I'll get it. All right, so I want to point something out here, because it's interesting that was the voice of a man, a human being, right? It's kind of interesting that up until this point, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Jesus, is talking to Paul, right? Then all of a sudden now we have this voice of a man, not the voice of an angel. Why not use an angel, God? You already used the Holy Spirit and all that. Why not? God, you just speak to him yourself. Why use the voice of a man? And I believe it's this is the reason right here, that Paul, in Paul's vision, it was a man, because God wants to impress upon him something. And that is, not only him, but us as well, is that our mission is about people. It's always about people, right? And when we read this, I want you to know that in this vision, there's somebody begging him, begging to hear the gospel. Don't ever forget that is your and my main goal, right? What's the Great Commission? Go ye therefore and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to obey all the things I have commanded you. Back in right in the beginning of Acts chapter 8, you will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Make no mistake about what your job is and my job is once God saved you. It is to be a witness and an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. That's it. Yep. Right? Here this person is, man, standing there begging them to come. Man, you know what? There's people right out there right now begging for somebody to come to them and tell them about Jesus. They say, I don't remember getting any invitations. They're not going to invite you. Just look at their life. They got no hope. They got nothing. They're begging you. All right, 400-mile journey. So while he's in Troas, after making that 400-mile journey, he gets a vision, right? I love that vision, the vision of the Macedonian man. And Paul uses that vision. What does he do? As soon as God says go, he takes that vision and he begins to move forward. And the Bible says as soon as he got that vision, it says he got ready at once to go. So immediately after they heard or seen the vision from God, they got ready and they got up and they went. Because it ain't enough to simply know what God wants you to do. You got to be ready to go. You got to be ready to go when God tells you to go, right? We must be determined that we will obey even when he calls us to go places we don't want to go. Even when he calls us to stay places longer than we want to stay. right? Even when he calls us to do things that we really don't want to do. Because it ain't about you. It's really not. The moment you got saved, it became about other people. In all honesty. Let's look at Acts verses 11 and 12. From Tros, we went out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. All right, let me show you a map. So now he's in Tros, having just traveled 400 miles, not having a chance to speak to anybody about the gospel, right? But here he is, right where God wants him to be, by the way, in Tros. So they get in the boat, they go to Samothrace, they go to Neapolis, and they land there in Philippi. It is just a beautiful story, and I want you, why did they stay there several days, you think? Come on, let me give you an answer. I'll tell you why. God said. God hadn't told him to move. Man, there is something special about knowing the voice of God. Because when you know the voice of God, when he says left, man, you can take a left. When he says right, you can take a right. When he says stop, you can stop on a point. It's something about knowing the voice of God. And believe me, he wants to direct your steps. Every step you take, he wants to direct every step you take. The question, the problem is we just don't let him. Amen? Let's read verses 13 through 15. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. Now, why didn't Paul go into the synagogue in Philippi? It's pretty simple. The law back then was if there wasn't at least 10 Jewish men, they would not build a synagogue or they would not have a synagogue. So this tells us that there were not at least 10 Jewish men in the city of Philippi. All right? We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us into her home. She said this, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. So Paul heard and discerned the voice of God. He's on the trail. Now listen, when I read this story, it's just amazing to me because he's on the trail, right? And God, he's on this trail from Tros, already been through, God would not let him go to Bithynia. God would not let him go to Asia. And God has him on this path. And Paul don't know where this path is going to end. I want you to understand that. Paul didn't leave Tros thinking where he was going, all right? God said go to Macedonia. That's a big area. But God directed him and God guided him. And he ends up there in Philippi. God didn't give Paul... Before he left on this missionary journey, God didn't say, "I want you to go here, 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 here." He went. And as he was going, God directed him. That's the way it is in your life and my life. We just got to go. If we'll just go, God will tell us which way to go. He'll tell you when to stop. He'll tell you when to turn. He'll tell you all that. He'll tell you when there's a detour. Right? We just got to be listening. We got to be determined to hear the word of God and determined to do what he says to do. Would you agree that Paul's focus here was on God? I mean, what an acute focus that he had here on God. Now, here's what I want to ask you. Paul's focus is on God. And what was God's focus on? People. Who said people? Lydia. God's focus was on people. Right? If you want to have the same focus of God, what is God focused on right now? People. People. That's always his focus. right? He came to save sinners, right? That's his focus. And listen, if you want to have the same focus as God and the same focus as Paul, because Paul's focus was on God, then our focus needs to be on people. Because, well, I want you to know something. Out in that world right there, there are people begging for one of us to have enough guts and lose the fear to speak up in the name of Jesus. And listen to me. Do you see how God directed Paul to these opportunities? Will he not do the same for us? He wants to. That's why he saved us, so that we could be a witness to other people, so that we could help other people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why. Right? We just got to be listening. Because I'll tell you what, if you're going to tell me that in the last month he didn't put anybody in your path to witness to, you're lying. You're lying. Or you're backslidden to a point where you can no longer hear the voice of God in your life. You are so wrapped up in self that you can't hear the Spirit within you. Come on. I just want to be real. We've all been to that spot. Come on. Man. I want to hear from God. I want to hear from God every day, regularly. I hope you do too, man. Oh, so they began. They sat down. I want you to see that was the culmination of God's plan here on this first part of the missionary journey. God already knew that Lydia was begging, right, for someone to come and share the truth with her. And she took a guy named Paul from Jerusalem and sent him 1,000 miles. Some of us in here wouldn't even go 20 feet. You can't go 20 feet if you don't know the voice of God. Would you be willing to go 100 miles? Would you? God sent a man who was willing to go, who was willing to hear, who was willing to listen, to go all the way to Philippi, 1,000 miles, to lead a lady and her family to the Lord. Listen, that changed that Lydia. That's the first one saved in that area, Lydia. Where was she from? Anybody remember? Thyatira. You know, Thyatira is one of the seven churches mentioned in Revelation. And you know, that was her hometown. So, man, I bet you that she changed the whole town. Come on. All right. Just remember, man, when that Holy Spirit speaks, when God speaks to you, generally, it's not going to be to go in a direction you want to go. It's generally not going to be to go to a place that you want to go or to say what you want to say. When God speaks to you, what he's really doing, he's saying, get out of your box. Stretch your faith a little bit. Trust me. Right? Follow me. Listen to me. And I will bear fruit in your life. Do you know what makes me feel the best? When I see someone come to Christ. There is no greater feeling, because I understand what happened in that person's life. I do. They were just delivered from hell. And now they have eternal life with Christ. When that loses its importance for you, listen to me, when that loses its importance for you or me, we are no longer hearing the Word of God like we should. We are no longer hearing the Word of God like we should. When I read this story, this verse comes to mind that Jesus said in John 6:44. He said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. No one can come to me, Jesus said, unless the Father who sent me draws them. Listen to me. God is drawing people all around you. God is drawing people all around you all the time. You just got to be willing to hear. Right? Not just hear either. You got to be willing to obey. You got to be willing to step out of the box and do and say and go and be what God wants you to be. That's what you got to be willing to do. Amen? So So this story, absolutely, what God wants us to see here in this story in the book of Acts is following his voice and how Paul was so tuned in to following the voice of the Holy Spirit, right? Here's my question to you. You know, I was at getting a haircut. My mom and I would go and get a haircut together, and I was in there. And everywhere I go, I ask people, you go to church? And if I know people to be Christians, I ask them, have you been to church? That's just who I am. So I'm in there, and there's a lady sitting in the chair, and my mom and I are next, and the hair cutter, of course. Many of you know her. Her name's Petrina, and you know, I asked them, both, you go to church somewhere? No, I can't find one. And I asked Petrina, no, I went Wednesday. You know, what that means is because I was there a month before, she'd only been one time. But that is what's wrong with the church today. Here's what I told them. You are robbing God. You are robbing the body of Christ by not participating in the body of Christ. Amen? And I want you to know something, too. When you're outside of that, outside of God's will, outside of fellowship, outside of unity with the body of Christ, hear me, you are not hearing God's voice like you should hear God's voice. I'm just telling you, because you're unplugged. Well, I don't have to go to church. No, but I want you to know this. When you're listening to God and hearing God and filled with the Holy Spirit, you want to go to church. You want to go to church. Amen? I want to be here. Amen. I want to be here with Linda. Amen? I want to be here with Courtney. Come on, I want to be here with you. Because I know God is here and he has blessings. Amen? All right, so listen to me. Are you stopped when you should be going? Have you turned left when God clearly said right? Are you backing up when God clearly said continue moving forward? Here's the deal. How does the Holy Spirit react when you make a wrong turn or when you are disobedient to God's voice? The same way that GPS on your dash does. Come on. Some of you desperately, desperately need a recalculation. You're so far off base. I've been there. There's no peace. There's no joy. Some of you need to say, Lord, I don't even know where I'm at. I've just been driving. Just whatever comes, Lord, I've just been driving. Enjoying the sun, you know what I mean? But that's not where God wants you. Listen, you think if you went to your father and asked him, Lord, get me back on track. I really want to be back on track. I want to be back in your will, hearing your voice, doing what you want me to do. Do you not think he would answer you? Would you answer your kid that? Your own child that? He'll answer you. Amen? Just ask him, Lord, I need some recalculating. I need some recalculating. I have to ask him that all the time. Lord, is this where I'm supposed to be? Yeah, not really. All right, Lord, then put me back where I need to be. Oh, sometimes it's painful. Oh. But the pain is worth it.
Amen.
The pain is worth it, if you would stand with me. Following God's voice. You know, the Lord speaks to me every single day, whether by spirit, by word, in prayer, sometimes through you. Come on. Every single day. I know that voice. Do I always obey it? No, I do not. Anybody that says they always obey it, they lie. Right? But I'll tell you this, man. By cultivating that desire to hear God's voice and understand that power of discernment, not only the power of discernment, but the consequences that come with discerning and then making the wrong choice anyway, man, has really helped me not only hear God's voice more clearly, but to stay on the path that he has for me. And by the way, he has a path for all of us. Amen? I mean, if you're just lost, man, then today's the day. Today's the day for you to say, all right, Lord, I'm tired of wandering in the desert. I'm tired of just driving around. I know you got a plan for me. Give me the map. and he'll give you the map, all right? Because he has a plan for your life. Now, if you're here today and you don't know or don't know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never accepted him into your heart, amen? Then the truth is you don't have the Holy Spirit, right? And everything I said to you probably don't make a whole lot of sense. Honestly, because the Bible says the spiritual words are foolishness to those who are perishing. But I want you to know this morning that God loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for you, to pay the penalty for your sins, amen, and offer you a way back to everlasting fellowship with him and his kingdom. That offer is on the table, and it's on the table for you as well. For those of you who have accepted that offer, it's time to get out the fine-tuning pliers and tune that back in, man. Get back on the right path. You hear me? Father, we just come before you this morning. I thank you for this time that you've given us and this word that you've given us, Lord. And it is your word that changes us. It is your word that, Lord, brings us truth and brings us into harmony with your spirit, Lord. And Father, I just thank you for it today. And I know, Lord, it didn't go out, and it's not going to return void, Lord. And Father, as we all sit here and think about it, and as we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the truths of what we really need to hear, Lord, I pray that we would accept those truths. Not only accept them, but act on them. Lord, I thank you for every person here today who can hear my voice. But it's even more important that they hear yours. That is my prayer for each of us today. That we would leave here, or that we would come here to this altar today and ask you, Lord, for a more clear definition of your voice in our lives. That we would leave here with a new direction, a new hope. We thank you, Lord. We give you this time, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.